Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Today I'm talking with Paul from a band called Restless Spirit. They have a new album called Blood of the Old Gods, available now. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you guys are a Long Island band, right?
Yep.
And so that's where you are right now, Long Island, New York?
Setauket, exactly. Yep.
Right on. So you guys are spread out, or are you all in the same location these days?
We're all mostly Eastern Long Island.
Cool. Right on, man. So, I was curious about, growing up in Long Island and stuff, pretty cool scene there. There's all kinds of death metal bands, really good hardcore bands. What were some of the bands that you got to see like in Long Island? And obviously there's like a good melodic pop punk and all kinds of good stuff from Long Island.
Yeah. For what I'm into, Long Island is not really the best.
Sure.
If you're super into hardcore, then you literally cannot get better. Like, yeah. End of story. Best in the country. I mainly traveled. We're not too far from the city, so every time I'd want to see a band, I'd have to go into the city or Brooklyn, something like that.
Yeah.
Bands are come here now and then. Now we're starting to get some pretty cool shows like. We played with Crowbar a while back in Amityville, and then Paul Bear has played here. So Amityville's been pretty. That's the place to be if you want to see some bands. As far as growing up, honestly, nothing. No one really used to come here. Some bands used to come through this venue when it was called Ollie's Point. Mm-hmm. I think like even that was where, I don't know if you like that band Coheed and Cambria, but mm-hmm. I think they filmed their video for Favor House at that venue.
Okay, cool.
I don't know why, but they did.
Yeah.
I mean, like New York City, you also can't get better than that for pretty much anything.
Yeah.
So I've seen pretty much everything there.
Well, then in New York City, making the trek out to, over to New York City, what was your earliest memory of seeing live music then?
Okay, my first show was in 2005. It was Ozfest. I went with just my dad.
Yeah.
I think that was Jersey. So I've been traveling to see bands forever. Yeah. Jersey and New York City is basically where I'd have to go.
Yeah.
But I mean, growing up, a lot of bands earlier on in their career, like Mastodon, mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Danzig, more times I can count.
Yeah.
I think I've seen Type O Negative like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
Some really cool stuff has come through. I saw Celtic Frost and their like reunion thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, all those, like, all my earliest memories of seeing music is sort of like those, I guess, you know, legacy bands. Cause I really wanted to go and see a show, you know, I wanted to see like a concert. Mm-hmm. So, for stuff like that, it's like, you can't ask for anything better. Cause everyone's always going to come through here. And if they don't, they'll come to Jersey or Philly, and both those places are not, you know, it's within arm's reach.
Who's joining you today? What's your cat's name?
Oh, this is a dog.
Oh, okay. Hi. Sorry to.
Her name is Judith Priest.
Awesome. Judith Priest. Yeah. I like it.
She's very small and very loud, but hopefully she won't be making any noise right now.
Yeah. Well, okay. So your dad brings you to Ozfest. Was he a rocker, or is he a rocker?
I guess he was a rocker. He loves rock music. Yeah. Basically, like growing up, he was always listening to Led Zeppelin, Black mm-hmm. Sabbath, Allman Brothers. So I never really went through any phase where I had to like discover my own type of music. I know it's like kind of maybe corny or like elitist to say, but I've been listening to the same stuff since I was like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Just because it almost became like a comfort thing or like a bonding thing for me and my dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'd show me all his VHS tapes, like The Song Remained the Same, Live and Loud. So I grew up, I have really good memories of, I went to a Catholic preschool, and this is right around the time, I think it was like 95, 96 or something. Maybe earlier, I don't know, doesn't matter. But I remember, I think it was Osmosis came out.
Yeah.
And I remember
that distinctly, yeah.
My dad picking me up, absolutely blasting Perry Mason.
Nice.
And my, I guess, teachers or whatever, daycare people were like appalled.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's all. That leave an impression with them. That now they know where this kid got it from. I like it.
Yeah, and it left an impression with me too. You know, it's sort of I don't know, it was so ingrained in me, this whole mm-hmm. lifestyle and genre of music, that it's like I couldn't get away from it if I tried. I wouldn't know what to do.
So your dad, I would imagine then kind of nurturing your love of wanting to play music then, I would imagine, right?
Oh, he's amazing. I mean, I'm so lucky to have the parents that I do and how they support us. And the band, you know, I know a lot of dudes in bands. There's, my family is always like telling me to get a real job, this and that. Yeah. Like, my dad thinks I'm the greatest thing in the world. Awesome. Every single day, he comes to every show he can. He's always wearing my band's merch.
That's sick.
I'm really, really lucky in that regard, because not a lot of people are fortunate to have that peace of mind.
Yeah, dude, that is really cool, man. And so, you know, always put a t-shirt aside for your dad, and he's, you know, rocking out with you guys. He probably listens to the album, the new album. It's awesome, dude.
Yeah, no, it's super awesome. Like I know most of my friends, their family's always like getting on their case and stuff.
Sure.
And I was actually talking about this with my band the other day, because, you know, they're just complaining and stuff, because I'm sure it's annoying. Mm-hmm. They have to hear it from all angles. Like, what are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, actually, I've never had that problem. That's pretty awesome.
That's cool, man. So I was curious about when, you know, on the new album, and you know, you have a great singing voice.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. If you haven't listened to it yet, check out the new album, Blood of the Old Gods. But so you have a great singing voice. When did you discover that, you know, you're a great singer? Because, you know, a lot of this music that we listen to, you know, a lot of harsh vocals, a lot of like, you know, brutal or like heavy stuff. When did you notice that like you could really belt it out?
I never did. When we were recording our first EP, basically our first EP before, you know, we really found our sound.
Yeah.
Was just my bass player, Mark, doing all death metal vocals.
Sure.
He wrote all that stuff, but we were like, let's write music that like we really want to hear, not just like what we think we're capable of.
Yeah.
And so we wrote all these songs, and I never did demos. I never did anything. It was sort of just like if this doesn't work while we're in the studio, we're absolutely screwed.
Yeah.
Never sang in front of anybody, never really practiced or did anything. So I got on the mic and I was like, I was nervous.
Yeah.
But I just opened my mouth and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can do this. And everyone was like, why did you never tell us you could do this? I was like, I didn't know I could.
Yeah.
And that's honest to God the truth. It's very natural. Even like singing and playing at the same time, because I do all the guitar work and vocals, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't really have to, I'll play everything and I'll work out what I'm going to do vocally in my head. And then I won't be able to get it. I won't be able to get it. And then I just stop thinking about it and it works. Actually, this is the first album we ever did where I recorded vocals on the demos.
Mm.
So I did a lot more work this time, sort of really trying to perfect it. Mm-hmm. And get like the harmonies and you know, not having to sort of just like fly by the seat of my pants and be sort of worried that I won't be able to express what I'm trying to do in the studio.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest, to me, that's definitely the biggest difference between this album and the other ones. Because even in the previous album, if I had done what I did on this album and actually worked on the vocals ahead of time, I personally would probably like the result better. Yeah. It's just for whatever reason, it was this thing that I was like battling against. I was like, I don't want to sing. I don't want to do this. But I like the end result. I just didn't like the process. So I sort of had this like internal battle where I just needed to get over myself and like, all right, I sing for this band. It is what it is, you know?
Put yourself out there, man. Be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That was definitely an issue before this. And now, you know, it's still a little nerve-wracking because I don't know. I'm more comfortable with it than I was, but I'm still not. Like, if you ask me what I do in the band, I would just be like, I play guitar. And then you come see us, like, oh yeah, by the way, I also sing.
Yes.
It's not something I,
because someone has to, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I love it. You know, It's a really great way for me to express myself. And I think that we've begun to found a style that we think sounds like it sounds like us and we're comfortable with it. So, I'm definitely better with it now, but going back to the original question, I never discovered that I could. And I fought with myself for years and years and years. And until this year, we really got back in the studio and we were like, we're doing this for real. We're going to make the best album that we can.
Yeah.
And no one person internally is going to like stand in our own way, you know? Let's do this to the best of our abilities, which I don't think we did before this, to be honest, because of things like that.
Coming into your own. That's awesome. And mm-hmm. and really fulfilling that identity that you guys maybe see in your own head and that you want to establish. And from an outsider perspective, you know, if I were to just pick up this album, you know, I think the name is very fitting for the sound now and how it's evolved. I think that's a perfect name. Like just picturing like the album artwork, the names, Restless Spirit. Yeah. Restless Spirit. Just the name Restless Spirit and the album cover. It's perfect. It's perfect for, you know, the sound. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you. And that's another thing where it's like, there wasn't really much thought put into any of that. I know it sounds ridiculous, but everything just came so naturally.
Sure.
So we were just like doing what we felt. Like the whole album cover and even the name, like the name, as silly as it is, it came from a quest in Skyrim.
Nice.
Something about some like angry, restless spirit, something.
Yeah.
And I saw that. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to name the band that. And, you know, it was what it was. And then the album cover also, it's Frank Frazetta piece. I think it's called Red Moon, Black Mountain. And he painted it in, I want to say 1981, maybe 1982. Yeah. And I've been a fan of Frazetta my whole life. So I was like, all right, if we're really going to do this, like we decided, I want to get something that I can really connect with. And I was just going through some of his paintings. I was like, that's what we're using. And I sent a bunch to the guys in the band and they all agreed. They're like, that's, you know, that's what we want.
Yeah.
So everything just really came together really naturally.
That's awesome, man. Well, okay. So, you know, was this album specifically written and made and recorded and everything during the pandemic?
We wrote the entire album in, I want to say, 1 month, last January to early February. Me and John, he plays drums. We just got into a jam room, and every single session, we came out with a new song. And we had to stop ourselves because we were like, we want to put this on vinyl. We don't want to spend too much because we're doing this all ourselves.
Yeah.
So we want to keep it to just two sides. So we got it to about 40 minutes and we could have kept going, but I was like, let's, you know, let's work with what we have. Actually, I think he had to stop me because I want to do more, but you know, we were trying to be smart about this and give something that's like concise and it gets the point across. So yeah, I guess you could call it a pandemic record.
So there definitely are more songs in the bank ready to be made.
Oh yeah. We're going to start with our next album. Probably we have a record release show January 23rd, and then we're going to start writing again. And honestly, we'll probably have a new album ready to be recorded in March the way that we go. Cause you know, we're just animals when it comes to getting stuff done.
That's awesome, man. So what's it like, you know, being back to shows? You know, obviously it was like, at least here in Seattle, and you know, there was a good portion where, you know, I didn't get to go to shows for a long time, you know, different parts of the world. You could go to shows at a varying degree, but for me, I went back to a Black Dahlia Murder show. It was immediately sold out. And that went from never going to a show for 17 months to sold out Black Dahlia Murder show. So it was just kind of like, boom, right into the middle of it. What was it like for you guys to go out there and start playing?
It felt weird.
Yeah.
But also very like, it felt like the time was right for the way that everything happened, but it was definitely like a culture shock. You know, you go from not seeing anybody for so long to seeing everyone and being in close proximity, and you know, people be like drinking, putting their masks down, and sort of just, you know, so it's still, to me, it's still, I'm still adjusting, to be completely honest. You know, it doesn't seem, I guess, maybe that long if you really think about the time when there were no shows to when there were, but that's a long time to be without human contact. If you really think about it.
I mean, toward the end, before the pandemic, I was going to shows like all the time, you know, just like a couple of weeks if I had nothing else to do. And then it went from, you know, an embarrassment of riches as far as shows I get to go to nothing. So it, you know, it did seem like a long time. You know,
yeah, totally. I don't know. Everything gets so distorted.
Sure.
With this whole thing, because it felt like forever, and then it felt also like it was just like a week. You know, it was this weird thing where I'm sure like a lot of people are experiencing that. It's just strange. Yeah. You know, you could try and describe it all you want, but it's just at the end of the day, it's just bizarre. Mm-hmm. And so to be completely honest, the whole pandemic thing, while I was like itching to get out there and do stuff, it sort of gave me like a fresh start, and it kind of felt nice to not be doing anything or really worrying about the rat race and you know, putting stuff out and touring and this and that. So in that regard, you know, it was a horrible thing going on. It's very dangerous and very scary, but in terms of my perception of the way I see things, it was really helpful in just leveling the playing field and helping me realize that at the end of the day, this really matters to me, but it also doesn't matter at all in the grand scheme of things. And everybody in this whole scene and in the world of music, we're all just trying to do the same thing. We're all just people, you know, like you see videos of like Rob Halford, the metal god, just like playing with cats or whatever in his underwear, you know, just like live streaming from home. So stuff like that is really like, wow, we're all human.
Yeah. Dude, absolutely, man. And you know, what did you do personally to stay sane then? You know, you had this time to just, you know, downtime, and you weren't, you know, out touring or out playing, you know, what did you do to stay sane?
Honestly, not much changed in my life, because I've always been somewhat of a shut-in when I'm not touring. I read a lot. I played guitar all day, watched a lot of movies, same stuff that I normally be doing, to be honest. It was kind of nice for a little bit too, because, you know, I really like staying home. I really do. So it was almost like, I don't have to make up excuses why I don't want to see people anymore. I could just, we're all on the same boat, you know? So same stuff, honestly.
So, I don't do radio full time. I do part time radio, but then also I have a job during the day. I work for a company that makes instruments. I'm a shipping guy. In this world, you know, unless you're like Metallica, most people have, you know, a side gig, a part time gig, or a career on the side. Did you work during the pandemic? And do you have a normal, quote unquote, normal job?
No, not really. I work at a family friend's cigar shop.
Oh, cool.
But for a long time, you know, everything was closed. So it was just, you know, getting unemployment and staying home and really enjoying that time to just sort of just distance myself from all the stressful things.
Absolutely.
But no, nothing really interesting to talk about, like in terms of like careers or stuff like that. That's cool that you work at
They make harps and hammered dulcimers. That's
that's really cool.
So if you're interested in making a folk metal album, you know, just hit me up.
So it's definitely not Guitar Center.
It's not. We have a shop that has guitars, but the ones that we make in-house, just folk instruments, harps and hammered dulcimers. Called That's Dusty, awesome. Dusty Strings. Yep.
I'm always super interested in almost like not forgotten, but you know, stringed instruments that aren't really used that much these days.
Niche instruments. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, when you come to Seattle, I'll give you a tour, man.
That would be cool. I would actually really like that.
Awesome.
I will. I will take you off on that.
Totally, man. That'd be great. Always, you know, obviously, you know, pandemic precautions would need to be whatever. But anyways, we'll figure that out down the road. But so if you were having a stressful day, a crappy day during this crazy time we're living in, that's not a hard thing to imagine. If you're having a crappy day, a lot of stress, what's a good album that you can go to, you can reach for, that can bring you back to a good place? Whether it be, you know, letting go of some aggression, whether it be putting a smile on your face, a happy album, a mean album, anything, just an old standby that you can go to.
October Rust. 100%. There's just like such an atmosphere that is like very synthetic and otherworldly.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, there's a lot of beauty in it.
Yeah.
And it really helps to relax you if you want to feel relaxed, you know, and also give you this like sense of just like epic spookiness at the same time.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a good album if you want to feel like, you know, you're in the woods in the middle of the night.
It is also a good love making album. That is what I would call sex metal.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Right on. Well, okay. So what's 2022 look like for you guys? You said coming up shortly, you got the record release show, and then anything else on the schedule? Or
We're working on some tours, and cool. We're really trying to get out there and promote this album as much as possible. We have a bunch of stuff being worked on right now, but nothing's like set in stone. We're really just trying to stay busy from, I'm gonna say, like April well into the summer. It's just, honestly, it's a matter of whether or not it's going to happen, because of it's not only that, like the whole safety issues, it's a lot of the people, you know, from like an industry standpoint, a lot of promoters aren't as willing, and rightfully so,
sure,
think about guarantees to smaller bands and they don't know will draw, you know, because, you know, everybody's hurting right now. There's a ripple effect that people aren't even thinking of in that regard. And then you try and, you know, get some stuff going. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, so this really does suck.
Yeah.
But provided everything works out, we're going to stay relatively busy. And yeah, I mean, we promoted that. We really promoted this album really hard.
Yeah.
From like October until well now. Released some videos, you know, did all this, whatever. So it's sort of, I guess we're going to come off the like the brand new album promotional cycle and then just get used to like playing those songs and the newness can die down. We can become a little more familiar with it, which would be really nice.
Awesome, man. Well, you know, I suggest anyone that's listening, you know, if you dig, you know, some of the stuff that he's mentioned, you know, some of the influences, you got to check out this Restless Spirit album, because it's a little bit of that, but it's so much more. It's awesome. Blood of the Old Gods is available now. And you can pick that up on CD, on vinyl, you can stream it. I do suggest doing that. Hopefully we'll be able to see you on tour. But I have one final question for you before we go. It's a question I ask everyone. It's kind of odd. So if you can show us, please do. But otherwise, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it and show us if you can.
Let me see if it's still there. You know, sometimes they, or where it really is. I forgot. I have a huge knife scar on my leg.
Jesus.
That my wife did.
Okay.
I had this big hunting knife just laying around. And she saw it. And we were joking around. And I was like, I bet you wouldn't stab me with that. And she said, okay. And did it. And I was bleeding a lot. And I found it really funny because I'm insane. Yeah. But I don't even know where it is. It's somewhere on my leg right now. Sorry, it's kind of dark in here.
Oh, it's all good. You don't need to show us. We can just picture it.
It's right here. I don't know if you could see that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She stabbed you.
Oh, she's cool. We don't act like that anymore. That was when we were younger psychopaths. But for anyone worried about our mental health.
God damn, you need to write a song about that.
The only other scars, I have one scar on my body that like really stayed there since it happened from chicken pox. So that's not very interesting.
The brutal chicken pox. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, that stabbing, dude, there's a death metal side project with that song ready to be written. I like it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Paul, thank you so much for taking the time. Any final words for the audience today?
Listen to the album and pick up a copy if you like it, because we worked very hard on it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.